We now know how our sun formed and what it's up to these days. But what about in the end? Professor Andrew Norton again.
The sun's about halfway through its life now, and deep in the core of the sun, it's busy converting hydrogen into helium through nuclear fusion reactions. Now, in about 5 billion years' time, that's just a round number, the amount of hydrogen in the core of the sun will mostly have been used up. Now, at that point, the sun will expand into what we call a red giant star. At that point, it will engulf the planet Mercury. It will engulf the planet Venus. It probably won't quite engulf the planet Earth at that point, because the Earth's orbit will probably move out a little bit as the sun sort of readjusts. But even so, that will strip away the Earth's atmosphere, boil away the oceans, and make Earth completely uninhabitable for life as we know it. But at that point, when the sun has become a red giant, it will readjust its internal structure. The core will become rather hotter, and at that point it will start a new set of nuclear fusion reactions, this time converting helium into carbon. It's a nuclear reaction called the triple alpha process. So it's called that because an alpha particle is the nucleus of a helium atom. And if you combine together three of those, hence triple alpha, you get a nucleus of carbon, regular carbon that we know on Earth here as, coal or charcoal or something like that. So for a few more million years, maybe 100 million years, something like that, the sun will convert helium into carbon. It might also generate a little bit of oxygen in the core as well by adding on another helium nucleus to the carbon to make oxygen. But at that point, the sun is going to run out of fuel. The outer layers of the sun will just drift off relatively gently into space over the course of a few 10,000 years, something like that. And what's left behind, the remaining core of the sun, will collapse down into a dead star, really, a type of object we call a white dwarf. That's what fate has in store for our sun, as I say, in about another 5 billion years' time, something like that.
So we've not got to worry just yet, then.
Well, not just yet, but hopefully we might have found our way to another planet by then and be living somewhere else. Who knows?
Hope so. White dwarfs, though, what are these? Are they just cold balls of what, carbon?
Yeah, essentially carbon and oxygen. A star like the sun, when it sheds those outer layers, that will remove about half its mass, but the half of its mass that's left behind in the core will collapse down to something about the size of the Earth. So if you can imagine half the mass of the sun contained in something about the size of the Earth, you can probably imagine that's pretty dense.
It's time for me to impress you, Andrew, with my fact, because I read that when it gets to this white dwarf stage, apparently one teaspoon of that stuff is the same as one ton. It would weigh one ton.
That sounds about right, yeah. Yeah, it really is going to be very dense indeed. And that's what these white dwarfs are. They're super dense objects held up by something that's called electron degeneracy pressure, which is a neat feature of quantum mechanics. When you try to force atoms very close together, this pressure develops which holds them up and stops them collapsing any further. And that's what will happen to our sun. When it becomes a white dwarf, it will be this really dense ball of essentially carbon and oxygen, and it will, when it's formed, it will be very hot because it's formed from the core of the sun, so it will initially be at temperatures of millions or at least hundreds of thousands of degrees, and then over the course of billions of years, it will just cool and fade away, ultimately becoming something we'd call a black dwarf when it's no longer radiating any energy or heat.
What about stars that are bigger than our sun? Because I understand actually our sun is not, it may seem very big given that a million Earths would fit into it, but it's actually not very big if we look at other stars around us.
That's right. So anything up to about 8 or 10 times the mass of the sun will go through pretty much the same sort of life cycle that I've previously described, ending up as this carbon oxygen rich white dwarf. But if you've got a star that's, say, more than 10 times the mass of the sun, because it's more massive, its core is hotter, and so after it's converted the helium into carbon and oxygen, it can start undergoing further nuclear fusion reactions to make yet heavier and heavier elements. So it can build up various elements through the periodic table until you get a core of that star that's composed of atoms around about iron in the periodic table. Atoms like cobalt and nickel and iron, they all sit at a particular part of the periodic table. And the thing is that when you're doing nuclear fusion inside a star, as you build up towards iron, you get more energy out than you put in. And that's good. That means the star can continue burning. But to go beyond iron to create yet heavier elements, you have to put in more energy than you get out. And that's not a kind of viable way of life for a star. So when the core of one of these massive stars is composed principally of iron, it really has run out of fuel. And at that point, the outer layers will fall in very rapidly, hit this sort of incompressible core, bounce out again, and that's what we call a supernova explosion, when all of this outer material in the star is thrown out into space in a hugely energetic explosion. And the core of the star that's left behind, this iron core, is now so dense that it collapses in on itself to become what we call a neutron star. And that really is essentially just a ball of neutrons.
Where the heck have all the protons and electrons gone?
Ah, that's a good question. So essentially what happens is that because of the high densities, the high pressures there, the electrons and protons get forced together. And if you combine an electron with a proton, then you get a neutron.
Hmm, pretty cool. Often people talk about black holes, though, when stars die. So how does that happen?
Well, we don't really know, it's fair to say, but just as there's an upper limit for the mass of a white dwarf, there must be an upper limit to the mass of a neutron star. It's the so-called Oppenheimer-Volkoff limit. The trouble is, nobody knows exactly what that upper limit mass is. But if you've got a core of a star remaining, then even the so-called neutron degeneracy pressure that holds up a neutron star, even that is overcome. And then the material will collapse further still, and there's nothing that can hold up a stellar core that's that dense. And so at that point, it will presumably collapse into this object that we call a black hole, which is as dense as we can get, an infinitely dense object left behind.
But it's not all over just yet, because these massive explosions, the supernovae, cause new stars to form, which brings us back to this.
Something has to trigger the collapse of the gas. One cause often is a supernova explosion from another star nearby, which triggers the collapse of the gas. Gravity pulls in clumps of gas together, and that starts to
swirl. This happens thousands of times over. So I suggest, to truly understand the nature of a star, you should listen to this podcast on repeat. It would also do wonders for my ratings.